And welcome back. East St. Louis has long suffered an image problem. There are a great many impressions about crime and poverty and desperation that are heavy on reinforcing stereotypes, but short on looking at the positives in that community, and there are many. Our next guest is moving to change all of that. Charmaine Savage is a native St. Louisan, East St. Louisan, I should say, and is a retired U.S. Navy commander and Bronze Star winner who is starting her new magazine to accentuate the positive in her hometown. The name of the magazine is I Am ESTL, or I Am East St. Louis. Charmaine Savage joins me in studio. So nice to see you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Up and running now as of the 3rd of January, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
What was your inspiration, Charmaine, for starting this project?
Well, what East St. Louisans inspire me, period. I mean, we have such a rich cultural history in East St. Louis. We have a history of greatness in people who are from East St. Louis, and I wanted to showcase that. The image that you get of East St. Louis in the media does not adequately represent what I know to be true of East St. Louis and East St. Louisans.
Well, you actually saw some of this negativity when you were in the Navy in various parts of the world and the country, didn't you?
There were times when, you know, it's inevitable everywhere you go, people want to know where you're from. Mm-hmm. And it never failed. I had one guy that I worked for who said, "Oh, you made it out of East St. Louis." And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Uh-huh. Yeah, I did not experience the things that what I call urban myths that people use when they're talking about East St. Louis. I had not experienced any of that. So that was kind of new to me, hearing that kind of reaction to East St. Louis. And what I took that as was a responsibility, mm-hmm. to show them what East St. Louis is about in the way that I carried myself.
Did you decide to come back to East St. Louis to start the magazine, or did you come home and say, while I'm here, I think this would be a good thing to do?
Well, my husband and I always wanted to come back home. We knew that eventually we would find our way back home. And I had some health challenges, mm-hmm. in 2013. And so we had decided that 2014 would be the year that we would come back home. And so we had already decided that we were going to come back home when the idea of the magazine came up.
Your husband from East St. Louis as well?
He is. We graduated from high school together, Lincoln High School, in 1985.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, you know, that says an awful lot, the mm-hmm. fact that you would – I mean, I think you came most directly from San Diego. Isn't that correct?
Yes. That's where the last place
most people would probably say, regardless of where they came from, boy, San Diego is not a bad place to live and stay there.
Oh, yeah. It's not a bad place to live. It's not a bad place to visit. And my children are there, so – I go back as often as I feel the need to feel that warm air.
you have said that you want to change hearts and minds about East St. Louis.
Yes.
What can you do through the magazine to do that?
I think that people who have a negative perception of East St. Louis do not know East St. Louis the way that those of us who love it know it. And so what I want to do with the magazine is introduce the humanness of people in East St. Louis through the pages. I want people to read those stories and see that, well, they're just like we are. You know, these people are no different, even though they may know people who are from East St. Louis. But I want them to see the magnitude of the greatness of people from East St. Louis.
Well, tell us something about edition one, I guess.
Yes.
It's going to come out six times a year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And mm-hmm. the first one is out as of January 3rd. What can folks expect to find in the first edition?
Okay. In the first edition, first of all, you can expect to find a couple of great East St. Louisans who are making an impact on the national and international stage, and that is Senator Dick Durbin, who is an East St. Louisan. I had the opportunity to interview him in his office in the Capitol. U.S. ambassador to the U.N., former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., the 15th, Donald F. McHenry. I interviewed him in his home library. We actually talked with him for 4.5 hours. It was a really amazing experience. And so that's the caliber of people that will be featured in the magazine every issue. So those are the big names that people are familiar with, but we also have some local folks in there. I want people to see that East St. Louisans come in all flavors. So we've got a couple young men in there, Dominique and Finest, who are students at Youth Build in Emerson Park Development Corporation. And they are from the housing project near downtown in East St. Louis, but they are some great, great young men, and they are really setting a great example for what people can expect out of young men in East St. Louis.
And, you know, over the years, I've covered a number of stories in East St. Louis, and including when Ambassador McHenry was on the job. Mm-hmm. One of the things I remembered about that was people were really surprised that someone from East St. Louis could rise to such a level. I mean, that is is the perception that people and the perception you're talking about.
Right. That's right.
But the idea of meeting people and covering stories and finding out just how interested people were in the community and are in the community and all the other stuff, the negative stuff, mm-hmm. washes right over that. And everyone, I think, in this area kind of forgets that.
Right. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
But do you think with your magazine, which is going to be distributed primarily in the East St. Louis area, correct?
Well, most of the copies will be in East St. Louis, and that is on purpose because mm-hmm. I want – and it's a free publication. It's an advertising-supported free community publication. And I want it to be accessible by everybody in the community. I want our senior citizens to be able to get a copy of it. I want our young students to be able to get a copy of it. And we will also make it available in other areas around the in the Metro East area, but primarily in East St. Louis. That's correct.
Yeah, I raised that issue because it occurs to me that in a sense you may be preaching to the choir, that the people who live there mm-hmm. basically know what they are, mm-hmm. what they've got, and who they are, that it's people outside who have this misperception.
Mm-hmm. Well, the magazine will also be available. An electronic version will be available on my website. Uh-huh. So people all over the world will have an opportunity to see it. And but it will be available. But, you know, to get back to what you were saying, you know, there are some people, there are some East St. Louisans who have bought into that mindset as well that, you know, we're not great. So, again, this is to elicit pride in East St. Louisans and to bring people back around to say, oh, yeah, we are. I talk to East St. Louisans all the time mm-hmm. who may not have the opinion that you would think that they would have about East St. Louis. And, you know, I just do it one person at a time to try to change some hearts and minds. So that's of East St. Louisans as well.
When all you hear is negativity, after a mm-hmm. while you begin to think that
you believe it.
You believe there's something to that.
Absolutely.
Again, the magazine is just out just for only a few days. Have mm-hmm. you had any initial reaction to it that you can talk about?
Oh, my. The launch event was held at the Catherine Dunham Museum in East St. Louis. And I intentionally didn't sell tickets to that event. I intentionally didn't say that there was a dress code. I intentionally didn't personally invite people to that event. I wanted every person to feel special at that event. And it was advertised in the East St. Louis Monitor. It was advertised on social media. And the Belleville News Democrat article did wonders for getting the word out about that event. But I can still feel the energy that was in the room, that was in the entire building at the Catherine Dunham Museum. It felt like everybody there was part of one family. And everybody there was on one accord. At that point in time. And I feel like it is going to be something great is about to happen in East St. Louis.
Some things are happening in East St. Louis right now that aren't so great for the community, mm-hmm. that they've got some serious financial problems. Of course, politics mm-hmm. Anywhere at any time always raises its head and it can cause scandal. Mm-hmm. How would you deal with issues like that, or would you? Would you leave that to the newspaper or leave that to others, or would you get into that sort of thing?
Well, I do not plan to get into that sort of thing because, you know, there is space for several different movements here. Mm-hmm. And the space that I'm in right now is to shine a positive light on East St. Louis. There's enough of the talk about politics. And that is not my intention whatsoever, because I think that that negativity that people buy into with the political scene is such a small part of who we are in East St. Louis.
How are advertisers responding to you?
Well, I did reach out to some local corporations, and, you know, it's kind of like a lot of things that are proposed in East St. Louis. People just want to wait and see mm-hmm. what it's going to be like. So I don't have much advertising in this first issue. And so my commitment from the very beginning was this magazine is going to be published. It's going to be as beautiful as I envision it being. I will accept nothing less. And if it means I have to pay for it myself, I will do that. And so I did pay for the printing of this magazine myself with the funds of myself and my husband. But I don't want to do that again. And so I am appealing to the local corporations who are, you know, especially the ones that service us in East St. Louis. You know, I would love to see them get on board with supporting this very, very worthwhile project.
Yeah. I know that you traveled at your own expense to Washington to interview Ambassador McHenry.
I did. Mine and my photographer as well. And we're headed to L.A. On the 16th.
This is really a labor of love, then, Charmaine, if you're doing this all on your own dime.
Yes.
Hopefully what will change. What about staff? What kind of a staff do you have?
You're looking at her. You're looking at her. So we have in the magazine, there is a page that shows who our storytellers are. Mm-hmm. Those individuals contributed to the stories and the photographs in the magazine. But as far as the business goes, I am all of the above.
It's a very slick looking magazine. Mm-hmm. It's very nicely laid out. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that your doing too? Have professional designers, if you will, professionals who are laying out the magazine?
Yes. As a matter of fact, one of my high school classmates is a branding and imaging expert. And so she also has a graphic design business. And so we prepared everything here in East St. Louis. And we packaged it all and sent it to her. And she laid it out, sent some proofs back. This was our first go around with it. So we went back and forth a little bit on it. And, you know, this is the result of that. But she is, she's an expert at what she does. And she can take a little credit for how beautiful the magazine looks.
It looks very good. She and you guys have done a real nice job. Mm-hmm. I'd like to open up the phone lines to listeners who might want to talk to you about what you're doing and maybe give you some story ideas about some of the positive things going on mm-hmm. in East St. Louis. Mm-hmm. If you fall into that category, ladies and gentlemen, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you would prefer to send us a tweet, do that at STL on air. What about your own background? I mean, obviously, you spent a career, and a successful one, obviously, in the United States Navy. How did that prepare you for the journalism that you're doing now?
Well, on my job in the Navy, I think we all do. You're constantly reviewing documents and creating policy and things like that. So I'm very familiar with editing. Mm-hmm. If you will. But the way that it prepared me was I'm a perfectionist by nature. Mm-hmm. I am an overachiever by nature. And so that kind of carried me through my career, and that was part of, you know, why I was successful in my career. And I think even with my limited background in publishing and putting out a magazine, because I've never done anything like this before, I think as long as I keep my high standards and as long as I keep people around me who have the same kind of passion that I do, that we're going to be successful at it.
What was your job in the Navy, your principal job?
I was in human resources. So basically it was military human resources. Mm-hmm. So I had civilian counterparts, but I was always in military human resources.
Yeah. One of the problems in any community in today's world is the issues faced by young people. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you can address those kinds of issues in your magazine? I mean, there are all sorts of problems young people face today, from drugs to inability to find a job to education issues. Mm-hmm. Can you deal with that?
Well, what I'm hoping is, and I should, there's like 3 points I want to make based on what you said, but what I'm hoping happens with this magazine, and I know it will, is to address some of the things that you're talking about. Number one, I want young people to feel motivated and inspired and encouraged by the stories that are presented in the magazine, and I want them to take away from that that these people are no more special than I am. So if they did it, then I can do it. Yeah. The other thing is I want those investors and developers that are hesitant, that may be hesitant to come to East St. Louis, to see that this is who we really are. Mm-hmm. We're not, stop reading the paper, stop, you know, pulling up the Google images. This is who we really are right here. And, you know, of course, that would mean more jobs. So I think the magazine has many different purposes that would lead to changing some lives of young people in the community.
Let's take a couple of quick calls as time will allow. We'll start with Philip calling from St. Louis. Philip, thanks for being with us. Make it a brief question or comment, please.
Hello. Yes, in the 70s, my grandfather lived in East St. Louis, so we lived with him for a little bit in between State and St. Clair on the 39th Street. And, you know, I went to grade school there and never had any trouble. You know, we went downtown all the time, and you know, we had a lot of good experiences. And just like any city, I mean, you have to be cautious here and there, looking around. I mean, I'm sure there's good and bad everywhere. But then one of the major things, I still go through there every day for work, and Samuel is a man that stands there and he waves at you. And, you know, I've had plenty of chances to stop and talk to him. And it's just, if you're in a bad mood, you know, here he is waving at you. He gets you in a better mood. I mean, he's just a really happy man, and I like that he's sort of like the St. Louis greeter. You know, hello and goodbye.
Right, Philip, thank you for the call. Do you know the gentleman he's speaking of?
I do not, but I was just on social media last week, and I saw a post about Smiling Sam, Waving Sam. People call him different things, but somebody had posted that they had actually stopped to speak with him. And then some of his family members were saying, you know, he loves that kind of thing. But I had not seen a post get that many responses on Facebook before or since.
There you go. There's
about that man.
For the next edition, there's one of your features.
Exactly.
Stories,
That's what one of my friends said. You have got to feature him in an issue.
Let's take one more call. Michael joins us from St. Louis. Michael, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Okay, this is a great program, and I want to thank your speaker for doing what she's doing in relationship to East St. Louis. I don't live in East St. Louis. I live in St. Louis, but I spent a lot of my time in East St. Louis through Catherine Dunham. And so I came up through the Catherine Dunham School as a drummer until she passed, and worked with the community there. And I think that there's a young man that I would like to see her feature who will be a great poster child to inspire other young people. He was born and raised in East St. Louis, and now he's on tour playing drums. And he relocated to New Orleans. His name is Weedy Brema. So I think the arts history, especially in relationship with the Black Arts Movement, would be a good angle to high, like all the way back to Ike Turner.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. We'll get Charmaine give a chance to respond to your comment there. Thank you for calling, Michael.
I tried to write the name down that he had mentioned because I want to look that up. It sounds like he said Weedy Brahma. But in any event, I'm sure yes. that somebody's going to get in touch with me and let me know. And I have a relationship with the folks at the Katherine Dunham Museum, so they might have that. But I love getting that kind of reaction from people to say, here is somebody, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who they all are.
Of course not. But Michael could contact you through your website, I'm sure. There's
Absolutely.
A means to do that.
Yes, and please do.
By the way, if I haven't mentioned this, we'll put a link to your website on our website at stlpublicradio.org
okay.
so that folks can contact you, find out what you're doing, and keep track in the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very quickly, you have a GoFundMe campaign going to help raise a little money for this. How does that work?
It's worked out pretty good. As a matter of fact, we raised enough money in the GoFundMe campaign to pay the contributors for the first
issue.
You
do have a number of columnists, so we should point out. Yeah.
Yes. So we were able to pay the contributors with that. And like I said, I paid for the printing. So I'm very much appreciative. And so many of I have to thank my military friends because they really came through with the donations.
Well, yeah. I'm sure people can learn more about that and perhaps
yes.
help you out a little bit through mm-hmm. the website. Charmaine Savage, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations on the magazine. Best of luck to you. It's a great project for a great community.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. That's it for today. Join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape. We're going to talk with the leader of Sofer Sounds, a group that organizes secret music shows in St. Louis. And also take a look at the St. Louis involvement at the Tony Award-winning musical Fun Home. And in the next installment of Sound Bites, produced with Sauce Magazine, he'll meet two female chefs designated by Sauce as ones to watch. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with the authors of Invisible Immigrants, Spaniards in the U.S., about their efforts to bring the tales of Spanish immigrants to life. We'll also hear from the producers of St. Louis Public Radio's We Live Here podcast. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. The program's produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Spencer Reed. Executive producer is Robert Peterson. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.